29. It's page 738 if you've got a Scofield Bible. Isaiah chapter number 29. We'll read beginning in verse number 17 down through verse number 21. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I remember years ago, I read something that I think it was D.L. Moody said. He said, preach the familiar text. And what he was saying was that you ought to preach on things everybody's familiar with. But if you preach on things that everybody's familiar with, how are we ever going to get familiar with what everybody's not familiar with? So I've never really, I remember that and I see what he's saying, but it's been hard for me down through the years to preach on the same things all the time. There's so much in the Bible I already see that if I live to be 100 years old, I'm not going to be able to scratch the surface of what we find in the Word of God. God has given us His Word for a reason. And there's many things in there that when we get to heaven, we're going to say for eternity, well, I never knew about that. And I'm glad to learn about that. All them times I read the Bible and sat in church, and we'll just learn about Him forever. And so God's Word is real, and I appreciate it this morning. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 17 through verse number 21, the Bible said, is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for letting us be here today and the many blessings, Lord, that You've given to us. And God, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be in Thy house this morning and assemble together with Thy people. Lord, I pray that everybody would feel at home today and that the Holy Spirit would make us welcome, and God, knit our hearts and our minds together that we might receive the truth of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, You'd help me as I stand to try to preach and bring the message, Lord, that You've laid on my heart today for this hour. Lord, I pray You'd speak to our hearts. I pray we'd rejoice in the good things of God. I pray You'd open our eyes to the day and the time in which we live, and cause us to prepare our hearts for eternity. Lord, surely, if we know anything about the Word of God, we have to realize and see that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ must be soon. Lord, I pray that God, if there's anybody here today that's lost, I pray You'd convict them. I pray You'd show them their great need of salvation. I pray You'd help us as the church to have a greater burden for the lost. I pray, God, You'd open our eyes and our understanding that we might see the Word of God and what You have for us today, and help us and bind the devil that he'd not hinder today. Be with every preacher that stands to preach the Word of God across our land today. We'll thank You for all that You do. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 21 one more time. I'll tell you what I want to try to preach on this morning. The Bible says, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. And here we see in the Word of God that the Lord allows Isaiah to look into the future. And what he sees and writes about is a day when free speech would be outlawed. That's what I want to preach on this morning, and I'll show you from the Word of God. I want to preach on the subject of the day when free speech would be outlawed. Now, technically, he's looking into the kingdom age. He's talking about the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, verse 18, verse number 19, just for example. Verse number 18, he's writing about a day. He sees a day off in the future where he says, in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. You know, I'm glad this morning that we as God's people can look forward to a day when the sin, the curse of sin, is going to be lifted, and the deaf are going to hear the words of the book, and the blind are going to be able to see. That's the day that he's writing about. He's writing about a day when the Lord is going to change the very nature of the earth. In verse number 17, the curse is going to be lifted. Verse number 19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. There's a day coming where there's going to be a one world religion. But it's not going to be the one world religion that the devil's trying to promote today. It's going to be in a day and a time where everybody in the world is going to worship the God of the Bible, and he's going to be the only one that's going to be allowed to be worshiped. There's coming a one world religion, but I'm afraid the devil's crowd's going to be pretty disappointed in what God has in store for his children. And so that's the day that he sees. And then he lets us know what will not be in that day in verses 20 and 21. And we need to read these two verses together to get the gist of what he's saying. What is not going to be in the kingdom age, he says in verse 20, for the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. There's a day coming where God is going to destroy and cut off and consume all of his enemies. Now, there's not a period at the end of verse number 20, but the thought goes on. He's talking about the terrible one, the scorner, the one that watches for iniquity, are going to be cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Do you know, as I study the Word of God, I find that the days before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be days where your words are literally going to be on trial. What you say, I'm talking about this day that you and I are living in before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to be days where your words are literally going to be put on trial. Can you imagine living in a society where in America, where we know about free speech, and that is one of the cornerstones of our foundation, but where your words, your opinions that you have, the conversations that you have between individuals, sermons that a man might preach or that you might listen to, will get you in trouble with the law, get you drug into court, get you thrown into prison. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. That is coming to America, not because I say so, but because the Word of God says so. That's what this is talking about. I'm going to show you from the Word of God this morning where that is coming to the world, that free speech is going to be outlawed on the authority of the Word of God. That is what the Bible is teaching here this morning. Now, this is not to get you down. This ought to encourage you this morning, I want to show you some things from the Word of God and also from our history. I brought a couple of things this morning I'm going to use for a reference, and then I'll put it away. But just by way of record this morning, I want to read the First Amendment in the Constitution, and I want to point out something about it. Here's the First Amendment, what in our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, number one. The amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That's what we are this morning. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Have you ever noticed before that free speech is not tied in with your political views? Have you ever noticed that? It's not tied in with what you believe about the educational choices that a person might have. It's not tied in with your scientific beliefs that you may or may not have, but free speech is tied in with your religion. That's not there that way by accident. Do you know why that our free speech in America is tied in with the establishment of America? It's not because the Episcopalians wanted it that way, I'll tell you that. It's not because the Congregationalists fought for it or the Presbyterians fought for it or any other group fought for it, but it's because the Baptist people fought for freedom of speech in America. That's a historical fact that you won't hear about in the public school. But it's the Baptist people that fought for the free speech that we have today. There is a monument beside the road in Orange County, Virginia. You can go down there and beside the highway. I thought I had it marked where it was exactly, but it's in Orange County, Virginia. There's a monument beside the road that says this: Elder John Leland, courageous leader of the Baptist doctrine, ardent advocate of the principles of democracy, vindicator of separation of church and state. It says, near this spot in 1788, Elder John Leland and James Madison, the father of the American Constitution, held a significant interview which resulted in the adoption of the Constitution by Virginia. Then Madison, a member of Congress from Orange, presented the First Amendment to the Constitution guaranteeing religious liberty, free speech, and a free press. This satisfied Leland and his Baptist followers. Then it goes on and it tells who that it was presented by and everything else. But do you know what bothered Pastor John Leland about the Constitution was not what was in the Constitution. It was what was not in the Constitution. And so he made a deal with James Madison that if he let James Madison go in his place, that James Madison promised to put an amendment into the Constitution guaranteeing free speech and religious liberty and freedom of the press. It was the Baptists that put that in the place. That's why that's in your United States Constitution. And I'll just go along for a good measure this morning and say that the Second Amendment, it guarantees the First Amendment. You know that, don't you? Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You know, if you don't have that second, you're not going to have that first. That's why these people, that's why these things are important in America today. So we have in America free speech because the Baptist people desired and demanded and ensured that it would be part of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights in America. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean for us this morning? Well, that means that if you want to say that the president is a baby killer and a homosexual lover, then that means it's all right to say that. That's what that means. And you know why that's all right to say that? Because that's the truth. That's the way it is in America. Do you know this past week, here's how far gone we are in America. This past week, they tried to pass a bill that would outlaw abortion by gender. Do you know what that means? That means that there are people in America that'll go and get an abortion because they wanted to have a boy, but they found out they're having a girl, and they'll go and have an abortion on that reason alone. And they tried to bring up a bill to outlaw abortions based on gender, but you know what? They couldn't get enough votes for that. That's where we are in America. And I'll tell you, every senator, every congressman and president that won't come out and say that's wrong, they're a baby killer. Amen. Amen. Therefore, the murder of the baby in the womb that ought to be the most protected place in the world would be a mother's womb. But in our society, well, that's lawful, according to them, to do what they call abortion, but abortion is murder. Now that's just the way it is. And if you promote and all these things, marriage between men and men and women and women, well, that would make a person a homosexual lover. That's what we're up against in America today. That's what we are fighting against, is things along these lines. But what we're seeing in America is the systematic destruction of all that we've stood for down through the years, right before our very eyes. We're seeing free speech attacked, going to be taken away. You see, say, why is it like that? Why has it got to be one or the other? Because that what people need to realize is this: there's no way to have freedom without God. You cannot kick God out on the corner and keep your freedoms, because freedom comes from God. John 8:32, Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But if you don't have truth, you're not going to have freedom. It said in John 8:36, the Bible said over there, "If therefore the Son shall give you life, ye shall have," or it says, "If therefore the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed." And if you don't have the Son to set you free, you're not going to be free. See, you can't have one or the other, and you can't kick God out of society and out of school and out of the court and out of every aspect of society and retain your freedom of speech. You just can't do that. But I want to show you some truths here from verse 20 and verse number 21 about free speech and how important it is. And I pray God will speak to our hearts this morning. Number one, I want to show you today, there is the Antichrist and free speech. Now verse number 20, let's read that again. The Bible said this: "For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off." Now, the terrible one is the Antichrist. Now, I'm not going to go into all the scriptures to prove that and show that this morning. If you look back in chapter 29 and verse number 5, let me just show you a couple of things this morning along those lines. The terrible one is the Antichrist. Praise God, he's going to be cut off. Verse number 5, the Bible said, "Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant, suddenly." That's talking about how God is going to destroy the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ suddenly. But he calls them the terrible ones. The terrible one and the terrible ones refers to the Antichrist and his followers. Look back in Isaiah chapter number 13. Let me read you a couple of few verses over there to continue to point out. Now, the word terrible in the Bible many times refers to the acts of the Lord. That what he did in the wilderness with the children of Israel, we see his terrible acts, or maybe in creation, and terrible doesn't mean terrible like we think, but his mighty acts that inspire reverence on our part. But the first time you find the word terrible reference into the Antichrist is found here in Isaiah chapter number 13, verse number 9. We'll read over there. Look what the Bible says. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil." You know, that'd be worth underlining right there. This world thinks it's going to go on and on and on and shake their fist in the face of God, but I'm telling you, God is going to hold this world accountable. God's going to punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now, those verses are talking about the day of the Lord, the day of the wrath of God. He's going to, what does he say? Lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. The terrible one here in Isaiah chapter number 29 is responsible for outlawing free speech. That's what he's going to do. The Antichrist is going to outlaw free speech during his reign. You know, last year, I believe it was, I did a great deal of study about Patrick Henry. Now, Patrick Henry was a great American patriot. He's a Christian American patriot. He was a Presbyterian. He wasn't a preacher. He was a lawyer, but now he is a good man of God. And he stood up for what was right. And he's one of the principal figures in the history of America. And I studied in a great deal about Patrick Henry. What I wanted to do was try to recreate his great speech that he gave called "Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death." And if you've ever read that speech, and I'm telling you, you'd just about shout over that. I counted out how many biblical references there were in that. And I mean, it's based in the Word of God. And what he was doing, he was saying the time for talk is over. He said the soldiers are already in the land. He said, "I don't know about anybody else, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." I think it takes about 8 or 9 minutes to say the whole speech. And I read about the circumstances behind the speech and everything else. And I'll tell you what, I've always imagined in my mind that when Patrick Henry stood up and gave that great speech against tyranny, that those who heard it would have said, "Amen, Brother Patrick, that's right. Praise God, let's get it on." Sort of how I'd imagine it in my mind. But do you know what? When he gave that great speech,
And when he got done, do you know what? You could have heard a pin drop with all the men that were there gathered together in the room. Nobody said amen. Nobody hardly gave a holy grunt about nothing. Silence fell across the room. And do you know why silence fell across the room? It wasn't that they didn't agree with him. They agreed with him. Most of them agreed with what he was saying. But the reason nobody said anything is because they were not used to having free speech. And what Patrick Henry did when he gave that speech was he defied the king and he defied the crown and he broke the law when he called for arms against King George the tyrant. You see, free speech and tyranny, it just doesn't go together. Thank God today, we've got free speech in America. It's not always been that way. Boy, nobody said nothing when Patrick Henry gave that speech. Tyranny and free speech cannot coexist together. Not in Britain, not in China. You know, it wasn't just a few years ago. You remember them protesters over in China that went out in Tiananmen Square, however you say that, and stood out in front of a tank to protest against their government. They don't have free speech. They'll haul them off and kill them if they protest over there. Do you know in Hitler's Germany they didn't have free speech? You know what Hitler started doing when he got in power? He started sending his people into the church to take notes. And if anybody protested against Hitler, they found out they was in trouble with the law. Free speech and tyranny does not coexist together, and it cannot coexist together in America either. And the only way the Antichrist can rule the world is free speech is going to have to go. They already own the airwaves. You think you're getting the real deal when you turn on TV and when you listen to the news and when you read the newspaper, or if you try to find some kind of truth on the internet? Do you know there's a reason why the government so much wants to control and regulate the internet? So they can control speech. So they can control information. They already own, they're working on legislation to limit the internet and free speech all across America. Do you know one of the last places you can still go to get the truth is in a pulpit in America? You ought to thank God this morning. You're just not going to get the truth just anywhere. You think you can go up to Washington and sit in a session of Congress and get much truth up there? I'm telling you, it'd make you sick. Thank God in America, in pulpits that still have men that'll preach the Word of God, you can get the truth. It ought to thrill you, but I'm afraid it doesn't mean too much to us. That's what I'm afraid of. That it's not very high up on our list of priorities whether or not we get the truth. But I'm telling you, that's where the battle is today, and it's going to be from here on out, is going to be to try to shut up the pulpits. The Antichrist cannot allow free speech. There's the Antichrist and free speech. Look in verse number 21. There's the attitude of free speech. Look what the Bible says. If you're sleepy or something, open a door or stand up, get a drink of water. That won't bother me any bit at all. I don't know how it is. I think the devil has kidnapped the sleeping fairy sometimes. What is it they say, you know, children? That dust or whatever. And throws it out on God's people. I tell you. There's the attitude of free speech. First of all, he said, now this is what the Antichrist did. Isaiah saying, past tense. Is he not? Terrible ones brought to naught. scorners consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word. That's the attitude of free speech right there. That make a man an offender for a word. Do you know what that word offender there? It means make a sinner out of him. Make a criminal out of him. The Antichrist, the devil, is working in the world today to make criminals out of people that preach the truth. Make a man an offender for a word. I was reading the headline news this past week, and there's a headline that caught my attention. Here's what it said. Pastor gets 2 years in prison for preaching spanking. Did anybody else see that? Pastor gets 2 years in prison for preaching to his people that they ought to spank their children. Boy, I hope they don't get my Mother's Day message that I preached. Because they'll come from my daddy and mama, not me. Amen. That bunch of hypocrites. I'll tell you, not my parents, but this crowd out here in the world. This crowd out here in the world today that'll say, you know, well, ought to go after these preachers and these children's home directors because they whipped children back in the 70s and 80s when in every public school across America there's a wearing youngins out because they needed it. Didn't hurt them. Didn't hurt them, but see, what they do in America now, they'll pick, now this is not a preacher anybody's ever heard of. It's a very small group. You might think that's in China or somewhere like that, but it's in the state of Wisconsin. And what they do, they will find somebody that's just sort of out of the mainstream. And they will portray them in a light that the majority will come along and not like them. And if they can get them where they don't like them, then in the court of public opinion, you can do anything in America you want to anybody. That's how they killed all them people down in Waco, Texas. That Branch Davidian, what they call cult, and I'll tell you, I wouldn't let him come preach for me, but, you know, I've read a whole lot about that and studied and talked to people and everything, and they killed those people in America. And they got away with it because they're professionals at it. They make a man an offender for a word. Pastor gets 2 years in prison for preaching to his people that they ought to spank their children. Do you know the Christian Law Association? They have a full-time ministry helping people, helping Christian people that have legal troubles. Now, you may not realize it this morning, but do you know that Christian people have all kinds of legal troubles? Do you know what they're helping some of these people? They're helping some people who went to work and got a burden for somebody they worked with and didn't want to see him die and go to hell and just wanted to give them a gospel tract. And they get hauled into court because people's trying to witness to people and keep them out of hell. Full-time ministry all the time. They help preachers that get in trouble with the law because they feel led of God to go out on the street corner and preach the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with that. If God laid on my heart this afternoon to go down to Boone and preach on the street corner, I wouldn't try to get nobody's attention. I'd just go do it. You say, preacher, would you really? I've done it in the past. I sure would. But I'll tell you, preachers all across this land get arrested, get harassed, get ticketed for doing what Jesus told them to do, and that's to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you know Christians all across America find themselves in trouble because somebody asked them to pray somewhere, and they prayed, listen to this, they prayed in Jesus' name. But that'll get you in trouble in America. That's where we're at in America. There's the attitude of free speech. Did you notice now, you know what got me to preach on this morning or thinking along these lines? Is all this mess with Brother Worley in the Providence Road Baptist Church down in Maiden, North Carolina. Now, you say, what's that got to do with us? Well, I'll tell you, they believe like we believe. I love Brother Worley. I've heard him preach. We're on the same radio station together. I tell you, these things, they bother me. But did you see how quickly that they were going to seek the IRS on him and his church? But I'll tell you, there's a double standard in America today. You have somebody like Dan Savage. Dan Savage is a homosexual anti-bully motivational speaker. I don't know what he is, but a reprobate according to the Word of God. He got up and told a whole auditorium full of high school students. First thing he said to them, now Dan Savage, he's been to the White House and sat down with Obama. First thing he told those high school students, he got up and he said, I hope you're all on birth control. And then he lit into them and started cussing the Bible. Said that the things that the Bible said about homosexuality was a bunch of blankety blank. And I've listened to that thing over and over and seen if there's some way I could bleep it all out and play it on the radio. People ought to know what we're up against. But I'll tell you, that crowd can cuss God. They can run down the church. They can bully Christians and talk about them, and nobody will say a thing about them. See, there's the attitude of free speech. That's where we're living at today. That people would make a man an offender for a word. Oh, did you hear what he said? See, that's where we're at. There's the attitude of free speech. Let's look on down. There's the attack of free speech. Look what it says. And lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. Lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. There's the attack of free speech. Now, a snare is a trap. There are those out here today that are laying traps. Look what it says. Him that reproveth in the gate. Well, who do you guess that's talking about? Who do you guess that's talking about that would reprove in the gate? 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul told Timothy, he said, I charge thee therefore before God. He said in verse number 2, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. That's talking about the preacher. That's talking about the preacher and the prophet. They would preach the word of God and they would lay a snare. They would lay a trap. You know what? That tactic, there's nothing new to that. The Bible said in Matthew 22:15 about the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. The devil's been tripping up people that preach the Word of God for centuries now. And he's still doing it. And if they tried to entrap the lovely Lord Jesus, who never done a thing but loved everybody he come in contact with and healed the sick and raised the dead and died for sinners, buddy, if they'd crucify him, what do you think they'll do to us? What do you think they'll do to us? There's the attack of free speech. I've just made a note to myself that I'm not going to allow nobody no more to talk in my presence about hypocritical church members. Now there are church members that are hypocrites, I give you that. But do you know who the biggest hypocrites in the world are? It's not God's people. It's that crowd on TV. It's that crowd on the news. It's that crowd up in Washington. It's not God's people that's such big hypocrites. It's that crowd. You know, the Lord's just good to me. And I just like to brag on Him every once in a while. You know, I thought to myself, now I try my best to investigate and make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth. And I don't just, I tell you, I don't preach messages and give facts that somebody sends me in an email. Now that'll get you in trouble. In fact, I have a favorite button on my email box and it says delete. And you know what I've found out? You can delete things as fast as you can put that little button. And that's usually what I do. When somebody just sends me a bunch of stuff, I don't have time to read all that stuff. But I tried to investigate, and I thought to myself, I thought I would love to have a copy of that message that Brother Worley preached, and I would love to just sit down and hear the whole thing. And you know what? As I said before I started, we've been busy all weekend long and going and going and going. And we went to the graduation over at Victory yesterday. And there was a man over there, I've never met him, never seen him in my life. And Brother Honeycutt introduced me to him. And he said, have you heard about all that stuff with Brother Worley down in Maiden? I said, yes, sir. I said, I've been keeping up with that. He said, come out here, I want to share something with you. And after church, I went out. I didn't have time much before because I had to get my picture made and all that kind of stuff. But afterwards, I went out. And he had, believe this or not, he had that Sunday's message and he had the next Sunday's message where he gave a response to it. And I thought to myself when he was showing it to me, I thought, boy, I'd love to have a copy of that. He said, here, I've got some extra copies, and he gave them to me. And so that's what we listened to yesterday as we was coming back home. You know what? There's a lot of things he said in that message that they didn't pick out and put on the air that they should have. There wasn't nothing wrong with that message he preached. There wasn't a thing. I'd like for him to come and preach the same message right here at Mount Lebanon this morning. I'm telling you, it's a good message. They ought to play the whole thing, but I'll tell you, they'll never do that. Because they're not about truth, they're about attack. It's about an attack upon the people of God. And they want to attack the people of God and get them to be quiet. Because that right there is convicting of an ungodly lifestyle. But what you find in that book, it will rub you the wrong way until you accept it and repent of your sins. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you can do like we done this morning and stand up and say, redeemed, redeemed, I love to proclaim it. His child and forever I am. Praise God, I like what I find in that book. But if you're a sinner on the road to hell enjoying your sin and living like the devil, then I'm telling you, that's probably going to offend you. What you find in God's book, but God put it there because He loves you. And He loves sinners, and He died upon the cross so that we could be saved by His marvelous grace. But there's the attack of free speech. Then I must move along this morning. Not only is there the attitude against it and make a man an offender for a word, and not only is there the attack to lay a snare for those that would reprove in the gate. That's the public place, by the way, the gate. But there he is in verse number 21 this morning. There's the aside of free speech. Notice what else the devil would love to do. And turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Do you know what the result of all these attacks upon God's people and churches and preachers and the Word of God, do you know what the result of that will be? It'll cause a whole lot of people to turn aside and leave a good church they need to be in. They need to be in for their family. They need to be in for their own individual self. They need to be in church for their children. But a lot of people will give in to the pressure of the world and they'll leave a good church. It'll cause a lot of people to reject a Christian witness. I'd like to tell you about the Lord. No, you're one of them. I don't want it to nothing to do with none of that. Cause a lot of people to reject the love of Christ. Somebody will try to share with them. It'll cause a lot of people to leave a good church and reject a quick Christian witness. It'll cause a lot of people to turn against the Bible. All that junk that's been out there over the marriage amendment and all the stuff after it. A lot of people say, I don't want nothing to do with the Bible. I don't want nothing to do with church if that's all it is. But I'm telling you, who's slinging the mud is not God's people. It's the other crowd. And it'll cause a lot of people to die and go to hell because they reject the gospel message and they don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. And people will be turned aside for a thing of naught, for something that's nothing. I'm telling you, what he said wasn't nothing. What Brother Worley said about all that, it wasn't nothing. They took it and twisted it out of context. Oh, I know how people are. Well, why can't them preachers just stay in the Bible? I say amen. Let's stay in the Bible. God didn't say nothing about putting no homosexuals in a fence. God didn't try to redeem them. God didn't try to save them. God didn't try to do nothing but to get Lot out. And when God got Lot out of Sodom, God sent fire and brimstone out of heaven, which if you study in the Bible, that's hell. God sent hell. God rained down a nuclear explosion upon Sodom and Gomorrah and turned the whole place into ashes. That's what the Bible says. God didn't save a mama. God didn't save a daddy out of it, just Lot and his family. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And so we see those that are turned aside for a thing of naught, for nothing, and they'll leave what the Word of God has to say, all because they put more stock in what somebody says on the news instead of what somebody says from the pulpit. You know, every preacher I know said things that they wish they hadn't have said. Every preacher I know said things while there's a preacher and that could be taken out of context and twisted around and made them to look awful and things like that could happen to anybody. I've thought about things I've said in the past. Could be taken out of context and made to look bad. I mean, I've said stuff. I've been preaching over 22 years now. I'll tell you, I've said things I forgot I said. Could happen to anybody. I know I said one time that homosexuals that they live like dogs. And I apologize this morning. That's wrong. Shouldn't talk about dogs like that. Because that's lower than animals don't live like that. Animals don't do that. I'm telling you. There's this side of free speech this morning. And then last of all, I want to point this out to you. Here's the blessing. There's the after of free speech. Now, it says in verse number 17, that's where I started out. And I was studying about this. It says, is it not yet a very little while? As I read that this morning, I was reminded, that just sort of rung a bell to me. Isaiah said there, he said, is it not yet a very little while? Wow. I got thinking about that. I thought, I've heard something very similar to that over in the New Testament. You know what it is? Hebrews 10 and 37. The Word of God says over there, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Do you know what that ought to remind us of this morning? Is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. Yet a very little while. Yet a little while and the Lord's going to come. All these things, it ought to remind us of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 20, the Bible said, for the terrible one is brought to naught and the scorner is consumed and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Notice there what the few little words, the terrible one is brought to naught. The devil is going to be cast down into hell one of these days, into the bottomless pit, and for 1,000 years, while we're praising and rejoicing and serving the Lord upon the earth, he's going to be bound, and after that, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be a cutting off. There's going to be a consuming there, we find in verse number 20. I was studying about that and I thought to myself, for the terrible one is brought to naught and the scorner, now scorner is somebody who makes mouths at. The scorner is consumed. I thought to myself, that word consumed, I think that's interesting. Do you know where the first time the word consumed is in the Bible? Do you know what it's talking about? It's talking about what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. It said that the city, they were consumed in their iniquity. And here we find the first time the word consumed is mentioned in the Bible, and the second time the word iniquity is mentioned in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? That there's that connection that's made there. Say, well, and I'm closing this morning. You might say, preacher, why in the world preach a message like that? Let me tell you, the devil fights every message I get from the Lord. It's hard enough just discerning the will of God and then to come along and preach a message like this. Why preach a message like this at a time like this? And I want you to know this morning as God's people that you need to know and settle in your heart that what we one time knew as normal in America is gone forever. Them days are gone. Them days where we didn't worry about nothing but just going to church and living like we lived and keeping what we had, normal is gone. It's going to be a fight from here on out. You'd be better just to know where we're headed as to end up one morning and look around and ask yourselves, how'd we get here? How'd we get here? Boy, we need to pray for our country. We need to stand up for the Word of God. We say this morning, well, wouldn't it be better to sort of just hide behind the shadows and just get off the radar screen? But I'm telling you, God has called us to be salt and to be light in a world that's dying and going to hell. How are we going to do that and hide? We're in the mess we're in because preachers quit preaching the Word of God. They quit standing up for what's right, and they took the easy path down through the years and decided, I'll just preach the familiar text. Won't bother nobody. We've got the place the devil isn't even bothered to go to church. Why preach on something like that? I don't know about you, but that excites me to see that God in His Word has told us exactly what's going to happen. People pay a lot of money to be lied to and told what they think's going to happen, but you can go to the Word of God and find out exactly what's going to happen, and it won't cost you a dime. People ought to be excited about that. Hey, it's free. It ought to excite us to be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. Are you saved? Are you saved? If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, you better do some inspecting of yourself and your life, because I'm telling you, the Lord is coming soon. One day you're going to wake up and look around and the people you love and know are not going to be there. Those that say, by the grace of God, are you saved? Are you serving Him? You know what? I want to be found faithful when the Lord comes. I do. I want to be found faithful. I don't want to be hiding from what God has called me to do. Want to be faithful to the Word of God.